Coming up next, it's the Offbeat Report, traveling off the beaten track to find some fascinating stories from the offbeat to the upbeat. This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM, Descanso. And today we are on the road in Ramona at the Fund for Animals Wildlife Center. And my very special guest today is the director, Allie Crumpacker. Allie, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
So this center was started back in 1984, I understand, by Cleveland Amory, the noted author and journalist.
That's right. Back in the 1984, when we were part of the San Clemente Island Goat Rescue.
Goat Rescue. So these goats were overrunning the island. They were not native, I understand, and they were going to be killed because they were actually threatening native wildlife. So how many of them did you bring here to Ramona?
According to our records, of over 600 of them came in about a three-year period.
Wow. Now, you've evolved through the years, I understand. Today,
yep.
You don't typically take in non-native species, but you're doing quite a job rescuing native animals and rehabilitating them for release back into the wild.
Yep, we're not working with goats anymore. We've come a long way since then, and really our niche for the community is helping with native predatory wild animals that are found in distress, whether that's being hit by a car, caught by a dog, they've been poisoned, or they've just come into some trouble where they need help.
Yeah, and I understand you're only one of three wildlife rehab centers in the entire county.
Correct. We're one of the very few.
So it's very important work you're doing. So some of the animals we've seen walking around include bobcats, mountain lion. I understand that you have some coyote pups that you rescued after the May wildfires. Can you give us an update on how the little guys are doing?
Yeah, pup date.
The
coyotes, a little boy and a little girl. Mm-hmm. The first one came in 2 days after the poinsettia fire, and the second one came in 4 days after the fires.
Aww.
And both of them had singed fur and really bad burns on all 4 feet.
Poor babies. Now, how are they doing now? Fast forward, 10 weeks later?
It's been 10 weeks, and they are doing really good. They're both outside now in an enclosure. We mm-hmm. had to wait a long time with a lot of salve and wraps on their feet to build up that flesh again.
Mm-hmm.
But they're doing really great, and they're on target to be re-released in late September.
Now, what do you do to make sure that they don't become too accustomed to people and to make sure that they're able to feed themselves and take mm-hmm. care of themselves once they're released?
Well, even though they're adorably cute, we don't coochie-coo them. We mm-hmm. we try not to make it a happy time, making all the happy time away from us when they're with themselves, with each other, with their buddies, out in their enclosure. And whenever people come around, we want them to run and hide and then get the food after we leave.
And speaking of running, though, I understand that you do some training with them to make sure that they're able to take care of themselves.
But we have to test all of their skills, make sure that they can survive independently upon release. We wouldn't want to be putting coyotes out there that are looking for dog food out of a dog bowl, because that would just cause more conflict and they might be a repeat patient.
So they go hunting right here inside the
We make sure that they know how to recognize their food and what to do with it once they find it.
Well, very good. What are some of the other types of native animals that you've taken in and helped through the years?
So what we are mostly focusing on here in Ramona is the coyotes, bobcats, skunks, and then birds of prey such as hawks, owls, even turkey vultures.
There you go. Now, I understand that you're very successful at it. What's your percentage rate for releasing these animals back into the wild?
So we have a pretty good percentage of release rate for wildlife communities, and that's 40%.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that sounds like not a great number overall, but wild animals don't want to be found by people.
Mm-hmm.
So when people are able to approach an injured animal, they're usually really, really suffering.
So some of them are just too injured to be able to take care of themselves in the wild.
Yeah.
You also have what you call sanctuary animals. These are non-native animals
mm-hmm.
that people have brought in that maybe were exotic pets, that sort of thing. What are some of the sanctuary animals currently living at the preserve?
So the sanctuary residents have been with us for a very long time. It's a program that we had going a good 2 decades ago.
Mm-hmm.
So these guys have been offered a forever home until they pass on. And that includes our pygmy hippo, who's the oldest pygmy hippo in the country.
Pygmy hippo. And he's got quite a pair of tusks on him.
A very strange backyard pet choice
yes.
by someone in the past. We also have 2 mountain lions, 10 bobcats, mm-hmm. and a coyote, all of which were hand-raised by people, so they
wow.
didn't grow up understanding how to be a wild animal.
And we're going to go out in just a little bit here, and we're going to be taking a closer look at some of those animals.
Yep.
Now we're out here looking at some of the sanctuary animals that they have. Allie has told us that in addition to the native wildlife that they rehab for release into the wild, they also have a number of sanctuary animals. Now, right now, we're at an enclosure looking at a mountain lion. Allie, can you tell us the history of this mountain lion? What's his name and where did he come from?
So this is Tonka. He is a very large 210-pound mountain lion that was supposed to be somebody's pet.
Wow. That's, yeah, not your typical house cat.
No, a little big. A little big to be a house cat.
Yeah.
He was actually confiscated by a veterinarian, thankfully, when the woman who purchased him brought him in for his very first, quote-unquote, kitten exam when he was about 29 days old.
29 days old. Now, this was a woman here in California, and she'd purchased him from somebody, what, out of state, where these things are actually legal to own?
Right. So there's a couple states where even today it is still legal to breed and sell these types of animals. And Tonka came from Ohio and was shipped here to California, where it's been illegal to own mountain lions for a very long time.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I can certainly see why. So how old is Tonka?
I'd have to look up his exact birthday, but I believe he's had his 11th birthday this year. Can you hear him?
I think Tonka's making some sounds here.
He's purring.
So it sounded like he was purring.
He was purring. Despite being 200 pounds, he is actually considered a small cat, and small cats purr. Versus large cats that roar.
Mountain lions don't roar.
They can't roar.
Interesting. Okay. So if you're out on the trail and you hear something purring off in the brush, watch out. Now, you've got about 13 acres, 4,200 square feet here, a beautiful new facility that's just been opened in, the end of last year?
Yep, we just moved in December. We had our official grand opening in February. Mm-hmm. And thanks to a lot of donors and sponsors, we were able to build this magnificent medical facility. We were working out of a 1920s concrete little block thing before.
Wow.
We just installed last week a fabulous x-ray machine. And that's a generous thank you going out to the McGrath family for sponsoring.
Oh, the same folks that donated to the YMCA out there in Rancho San Diego. Very generous people. Now, this facility is not open to the public. It's not a place that you can tour or go see the animals because, of course, they want to keep them as wild as possible for release. However, if someone has an injured animal that they have found, can they bring it here?
Yep. Yeah, we always recommend that they either give us a call or call animal control and just talk through the situation first. Make sure that it's safe for them to rescue the animal themselves.
Right.
And then we would give them directions on how to put it into a box, bring it up to us, and check it in so that we can start its medical care.
And if it's too big, if you see a wounded mountain lion or coyote or something, then you can call animal control and they'll transport it? Or
I wouldn't recommend you try to catch an injured mountain lion.
Probably
yourself.
Not a good idea.
It's not a good idea.
Especially a baby one. Mama might be nearby.
Absolutely.
But that's what County Animal Services is for, right? They can transport those to you?
We rely greatly on animal control. The officers are absolutely fantastic at responding to wildlife calls and working with us to make sure that they're getting to the right rehab center, whether it's us or one of the other two.
Very good. Now, I know I found a wounded baby bird not long ago, and it was night, and I was calling all over, and nobody was open. None of the other wildlife places were open, and unfortunately, it didn't make it through the night. What can people do if they're in that situation, if they have, say, a baby bird? I know your focus is predators, but you've said you do take in other native wildlife on a temporary basis, and you'll try to work with other shelters to find a more long-term rehab facility. Can people bring those kind of animals to you? And if so, during what hours?
So if it's during the day, between 8 and 5, 7 days a week, we will accept any native wild animal.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be fairly true for the other organizations as well. So if it's after hours and you believe that it needs critical medical care, that's when you should definitely call animal control. They have a 24/7 dispatch, and you can talk to them for your options. But otherwise, what we recommend for night rescues is that you keep the animal dark and calm in a warm, safe spot. And then bring it to us first thing in the morning.
Okay, well, that's very, very good advice. What's new on the horizon? I understand you've got an exciting new project coming up.
Yeah, we are currently fundraising for the remodeling of our raptor aviary. That's this gorgeous 150-foot flight that we have on the property, but it's over 20 years old. So it's time that it needs some refurbishing. We work with about 200 birds a year, and we really want to make sure that we upgrade that structure this winter during the downtime, mm-hmm. You know, when the birds are all away migrating, so that we are fresh up and running in the spring. So we are still looking for some sponsors for that.
Very good. Now, you showed me the housing out there where you take interns from all over the world who come here to work with these wonderful animals. Do you also take local interns or community volunteers? How can people get involved and help?
So interns are students that are coming from all over the country, and as a few of those from worldwide. We have 7 interns completing their program right now. And we also have volunteers, like you mentioned, and they need to be at least 16 years of age, mm-hmm. Be able to drive to Ramona, because all the work is here on the property.
Right.
And we ask for a commitment of 4 hours per week for a minimum of 100 hours.
What are some of the kinds of things that the volunteers would be doing?
Oh, they get to do everything like fun laundry, dishes, picking up poop. But of course, they learn all of the medical work, the diagnostics. They get to observe the behaviors of the animals. We use a lot of night cameras because mm-hmm. most of our patients are nocturnal. Mm-hmm. So setting up the cameras during the day, reviewing the footage on the computer to make the behavioral observations to mm-hmm. determine if the animals are ready for release is actually a very time-consuming but fun task.
That does sound exciting. It seems like it would be good training, too, for someone who might have an interest maybe into someday going into veterinary mm-hmm. medicine or getting a job at the zoo or something down the
Absolutely.
Road. Okay. Now, I'm sure, like all nonprofits, that you are fundraising for some of these wonderful projects. How can people find out more about the Fund for Animals Wildlife Center here in Ramona and make a donation or get more information?
So the Fund for Animals is actually a national organization, and here in California, we are the Wildlife Center version of that. Mm-hmm. If you go to fundforanimals.org and then you click on the Wildlife Center link on the left-hand side, you can find all of our information.
Very good. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to meet with us here at the Fund for Animals Wildlife Center in Ramona. It sounds like there's a lot of activity going on, as we can hear in the background, and we thank you for joining us today on the East County Magazine Show.
Thanks for having me.